course, the product will record.
Yeah.
Thank you.
the alternative is that we're out of the formal step away from the all but done. And we have to look at the discussion, what we've discussed, we're prepared to look at what we think happens to the specific time. So that's what we have to work at. At the school level, quite importantly, transition revenue, and we're looking to agree with the council. All of that, obviously, from an economic perspective, will be neutral in terms of what outcome you need to look at.
Some on the placement for various roads and apps or network, is it possible to come to an agreement on certain terms of the off or certain roads and locks and the rest not that the whole be locked in for document?
It is possible to it would be possible that we can't bring a component of terms or rules of negotiation and for us to agree and for the customers to agree, we'll just leave that bit away by community through. That's absolutely possible. It's much more problematic and difficult to separate systems because most of the undertaking is dealing with, if you look at the way negotiations or the framework of rules is system specific, it's quite happens. And when you get into the tariff structures, because the material allocations from non-direct system costs, really like a network control, all the way to a managing director's office, that then the very material cost is really difficult to agree on and without agreeing all systems as well. So, almost impossible to do in terms of systems because of but in terms of different components, yeah, it's absolutely possible. Anyone on the phone have any questions?
Anyone?
In terms of the process,
difficult question in some respects. But like if you run the system model, you can get the returns out of the returns for the core network. Then you have the projects that sit across the top network, which are on a different risk return outcome and are somewhat integrated to the actual regulatory outcome. The only reason why I'm talking a little bit about what it actually does is the actual cash flows don't run through to the model in any particular too long run as long as we meet the cost allowances. Then delivery, then they do in different years you can get cash businesses like capital for predicted capital, and it gets trued up on actual capital. So at the margins, it won't run quite to the model. The fundamental, though, of course, in the debate on the cost of capital is that the equity returns because of the bond market down will be lower than what they've been in UT3. But the actual amount that is little less than energy forward. And then the variable is obviously that is very little. But if you look at the base model, so what will be agreed out, and you add for the other project, and you look in the context of a four-year environment, not like the demos, so there's no obligation. There is a recent interactive or bond market. It's not regulatory, it's just a few recent on bond markets every 3 or 5 years. That's what I'm covering.
That comes up with the period.
It's different, of course.
Right.
That is one difference. If you look at the tonnage forecast, there's a forecast to see 250 odd and call out the guarantees. Those guarantees, even if the tons don't run, we have to do that to run well. That's been a process of losing some of the other customers. So we have to add 250, including what number is in guarantees. If you really get into the details, some of our cost build up is something like 245 or something, because we're essentially in the gap, which is consistent with saying the rest of the ground floor.
It's a
that's compared to the normal regulatory pricing model. This is just described, and it's worth as per what you find. They are actually different, and with reason to be the gate was the capital was basically on that system overwhelmingly dominated by the new project. And therefore, to put it into the regulatory, effectively would make the existing users pay a massively higher rate, just by regulatory work. And the customers that come. This is what I talk about. The regulatory framework needs flexibility to suit a project instead of customers, but that's making it work for that project and those customers. When we got to work, it was not as to give you proper numbers for adopting the gate. The investment is probably 3-4 times the size of the regulatory base of that system. The investment on work was a little, maybe about 80% of the RAB. So when you see such a, you can bring everyone's rate down. Or the incremental rate is just a touch more. And as part of that, or let's do this for a top-up mechanism, sort of making some sense. And that's the part of it we're really about the expansion process. Because some of our customers want so much certainty that they want you to let that work that way. And it's what I call a regulatory framework, and it's common about the regulatory framework. It is so restrictive that it gets most confident about the outcomes and opportunity costs. Because if we did not move the gate in a way that gives us a bit of tension around it, the opportunity cost would have been a much different one. And so at the heart of some of the stuff that is undertaking, gives us what we call dense outcomes to customers. But once they know what the backstop is, to do what the company and the customer for the project at that particular time. Australia's regulatory system, I characterise it as relatively low return, relatively low alignment to our customers, very low and high opportunity cost. And you in the growth market and we're seeing in the market. And some of our customers find it really hard because they think flexibility is monopoly thing opted out. The price is something that we're trying to get along with them on when you get the hard.
How do
we get
that one? So I'll extend that a bit more. But how do you take into account that flexibility monthly power and your private size project that works at the network?
The challenge is the process is to be clear on obligations when we start and difficult to say that stuff is very much real. And so this is probably pretty traditional, but the concept of the pre-feasibility test. So then we'll pretty much say, where last year we ran an RFP process. What you know is everyone's got a real to great respect for our customers and what's going on. This is evident with the right process. When that process first started, it was 170 responses when we got all the way to not being critical of customers at all, looking at options in my systems, or they're just trying to see what the competitors are, or they're out there, they think their project might go to a different system when they get one together. We ran one last year, and we ran across the three courts. We had another to buy. And so the challenge, though, was getting to the ladder. And what we're trying to create this from real estate really that as you get into the group business, and then you can get to the point to say, well, no payment is coming, but you won't get a refund, and you're on the hook for capacity, or you're on the hook for a 10 or 15 agreement with that limited ways to get out. That's the real problem. And the tension is how to do that in a way where we don't waste a whole lot of money on mythical projects.
Unless I
it's really tempting when you get in Australia. Everyone's